Chapter 8, In All Things Like. It should be particularly noted that in the first and second chapters of Hebrews, the thought and discussion concerning the person of Christ is especially as to nature and substance. In Philippians 2, verses 5 through 8, there is presented the thought of Christ's relationship to God and to man, especially as to nature and form. Thus, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but emptied himself, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Philippians 2, verses 5 through 8, and RV. When Jesus emptied himself, he became man, and God was revealed in the man. When Jesus emptied himself, on the one side man appeared, on the other side God appeared. Thus in him God and man met in peace and became one. For he is our peace, who hath made both God and man one, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, to make in himself of twain, God and man, one new man, and so making peace. Ephesians 2, verses 14 and 15. He who was in the form of God took the form of man. He who was equal with God became equal with man. He who was creator and Lord became creature and servant. He who was in the likeness of God was made in the likeness of men. He who was God in spirit was made man and flesh. John 1, verse 1 and verse 14. Nor is this true only as to form, it is true as to substance. For Christ was like God in the sense of being of the very nature, in very substance of God. He was made in the likeness of men, in the sense of being like men, in the nature and very substance of men. Christ was God. He became man. And when he became man, he was man as really as he was God. He became man that or he might redeem man. He came to man where man is, to bring to man where he was and is. And in order to redeem man from what man is, he was made what man is. Man is flesh, Genesis 6, verse 3, John 3, verse 6. And the Word was made flesh, John 1, verse 14, Hebrews 2, verse 14. Man is under the law, Romans 3, verse 19. Christ was made under the law, Galatians 4, verse 4. Man is under the curse, Galatians 3, verse 10, Zechariah 5, verses 1 through 4. Christ was made a curse, Galatians 3, verse 13. Man is sold under sin, Romans 7, verse 14, and laden with iniquity, Isaiah 1, verse 4. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all, Isaiah 53, verse 6. Man is a body of sin, Romans 6, verse 6, and God hath made him to be sin, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21. Thus, literally, in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren. Yet it must never be forgotten, it must be borne in mind and heart constantly and forever, that in none of this, as to man, the flesh, sin, and the curse was Christ ever of himself, or of his own original nature or fault. All this he was made. He took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And in all this Christ was made what before he was not, in order that the man might be made now and forever what he is not. Christ was the Son of God. He became the Son of Man, that the sons of men might become the sons of God. Galatians 4, verse 4, 1 John 3, verse 1. Christ was Spirit. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 45. He became flesh in order that man, who is flesh, might become spirit. John 3, verse 6, Romans 8, verses 8 through 10. Christ, who was altogether of the divine nature, was made partaker of human nature in order that we, who are altogether of the human nature, might be partakers of the divine nature. 2 Peter 1, verse 4. Christ, who knew no sin, was made to be sin, even the sinfulness of man, in order that we, who knew no righteousness, might be made righteousness, even the righteousness of God. And as the righteousness of God, which in Christ the man is made, is real righteousness, so the sin of men, which Christ was made in the flesh, was real sin. And certainly as our sins, when upon us, are real sins to us, so certainly when these sins were laid upon him, they became real sins to him. As certainly as guilt attaches to these sins, and to us because of them, when they are upon us, so certainly this guilt attached to these same sins of ours, and to him because of them, when they were laid upon him. As the sense of condemnation and discouragement of our sins was real to us, when these sins of ours were upon us, so certainly this same sense of condemnation and discouragement because of the guilt of these sins was realized by him when these sins of ours were laid upon him. Thus the guilt, the condemnation, the discouragement of the knowledge of sin were his, were a fact in his conscious experience, as really as they were ever such in the life of any sinner that was ever on earth. And this awful truth brings to every sinful soul in the world the glorious truth that the righteousness of God and the rest, the peace, and the joy of that righteousness are a fact in the conscious experience of the believer in Jesus in this world, as really as they are in the life of any saint who was ever in heaven. He who knew the height of the righteousness of God acquired also the knowledge of the depth of the sins of men. He knows the awfulness of the depths of the sins of men, as well as he knows the glory of the heights of the righteousness of God. And by this, his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many. Isaiah 53, verse 11. By this his knowledge he is able to deliver every sinner from the lowest depths of sin and lift him to the highest height of righteousness, even the very righteousness of God. Made in all things like unto us, he was in all points like as we are. So fully was this so that he could say, even as we must say, the same truth, I can of mine own self do nothing. John 5, verse 30. Of him this was so entirely true that in the weakness and infirmity of the flesh, ours which he took, he was as is the man who is without God and without Christ. For it is only without him that men can do nothing. With him and through him it is written, I can do all things. But of those who are without him it is written, without me ye can do nothing. John 15, verse 5. Therefore, when of himself he said, I can of mine own self do nothing, this makes it certain forever that in the flesh, because of our infirmities which he took, because of our sinfulness, hereditary and actual, which was laid upon him and imparted to him, he was of himself in that flesh exactly as the man who, in the infirmity of the flesh, is laden with sins, actual and hereditary, and who is without God. And standing thus weak, laden with sins, and helpless as we are, in divine faith he exclaimed, I will put my trust in him. Hebrews 2, verse 13. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. And in saving the lost, he came to the lost where we are. He put himself among the lost. He was numbered with the transgressors. He was made to be sin. And from the standpoint of the weakness and infirmity of the lost, he trusted in God that he would deliver him and save him. Laden with the sins of the world and tempted in all points like as we are, he hoped in God and trusted in God to save him from all those sins and to keep him from sinning. Psalm 69, verses 1 through 21, 71, verses 1 through 20, 22, verses 1 through 22, and 31, verses 1 through 5. And this is the faith of Jesus. This is the point where the faith of Jesus reaches lost, sinful man to help him. For thus it has been demonstrated to the very fullness of perfection that there is no man in the wide world for whom there is no hope in God, no one so lost that he cannot be saved by trusting God in this faith of Jesus. And this faith of Jesus, by which in the place of the lost he hoped in God and trusted God for salvation from sin and power to keep from sinning, this victory of his, it is that he has brought to every man in the world divine faith by which every man can hope in God and trust in God and can find the power of God to deliver him from sin and to keep him from sinning. That faith which he exercised and by which he obtained the victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil, that faith is his free gift to every lost man in the world. And thus, this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. And this is the faith of which he is the author and finisher. This is the faith of Jesus that is given to men. This is the faith of Jesus that must be received by men in order for them to be saved. This is the faith of Jesus which, now in this time of the third angel's message, must be received and kept by those who will be saved from the worship of the beast and his image and enabled to keep the commandments of God. This is the faith of Jesus referred to in the closing words of the third angel's message. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. And now of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such an high priest. All that we have thus found in the first and second chapters of Hebrews is the essential foundation and preliminary of his high priesthood. For in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that, so that, in order that, he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered, being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. Hebrews 2, verses 17 and 18.